So I'd like to discuss the reading plans that we have, briefly. Whether you want to read through the whole Bible or just start a daily reading plan, we have reading plans for anyone. So what I started this year, because when I started that first year, I stressed the importance of reading the whole entire Word of God. And I still encourage people to read the whole Bible. I really do. I think the Old Testament has so much in it. I feel like I'm just catching up. After all the years not reading the Old Testament, I feel like God has something to share in every one of those books. And I've learned from every one of those books. So I feel like, well, I need to read it again because there's a lot I forgot. There's a lot I need to reread. But if you're not there, if you don't want to take on that kind of a burden, because I'm not here to give you, you know, more than you can chew, because I know some people won't have as much time as I do. What I did is created a Bible sampler, and it's a month-to-month plan. So in January, it starts off Genesis and Matthew. Luke is, February. Is Exodus and Luke. So whether you want to read both those books throughout the month or just one of the books, it's your call. And what I'll say is, whatever you decide to read today, whatever you feel God lays on your heart, whether it's through the whole Bible or whether it's the Bible sampler, do what you feel led to do. So don't let me, you know, I'm not here to tell you what to read. I'm here to encourage you to be a daily Bible reader. And whatever plan you want to follow, you know, pursue that plan and stick with it. So that's all I'll say about reading plans. As far as versions of the Bible, I know there's scholars out there that tell you, you know, King James Version is the way to go because the King James Version is based on manuscripts that are not corrupted, and all the other manuscripts have been corrupted. And I'm telling you, I don't buy it.
And then
there's other Bible scholars that tell you that you need to read the NASB because the NASB is the most accurate word-for-word translation. God bless them. I mean, if that's what they want to follow, that's great. And that's a good Bible. But I'm telling you, when I first started reading the Bible in 2007, I was very lazy. I had a Living Bible by my bedside. I had an NASB in my kitchen nook. That was a big Bible. It was so heavy, I didn't want to take it anywhere. And then I had a paperback version from a Danny Johnson event that I got there. It was a paperback NIV. And I had that in my truck. And it's a mess now. It's duct taped because it tattered. But anyway, that first year, I was reading out of any one of those versions. NASB, I read the Living Bible at night. I read the NIV when I was waiting on trains in my truck. And it didn't matter. I was seeking God, and whatever I was reading, He spoke to me. and the version didn't mean anything. But I'm telling you, what did matter. The next year, I realized that when I read the Book of Job in the NASB, I don't know how to say it. The Book of Job is an awesome book, and maybe it was because it was my first time. But the language of that version did not enter my body very comfortably. I had a hard time with the words that was used through that book. I'm just using that book as an example. But Jeremiah was probably the same way. But anyway, when I read that same book in Job the next year, reading the New Living Translation, which is my favorite, and I'm not telling you to use the New Living Translation. I'm telling you to use the version that you like. Use the version that speaks most with you, and you want to read different versions, that's great. And for personal study, when you're drilling down into the scriptures, like I can see John does because he has all these different versions of the Bible, use all of them because I feel like, you know, if we all knew Greek and we all knew Hebrew, I understand it's like watching a color television versus black and white. So, what I'm saying is pick the version that you like the most and just, you know, read that. And the New Living Translation, I could understand Job much more and enjoy it much more. And I think we're supposed to enjoy the Bible. I think that we should have fun reading the Word. I think God's put a lot of entertaining stories in there just so we can just get a chuckle out of once in a while, and at the same time learn more about God and how he works. And that's another thing I love about the Bible, because I don't need drama or novels, because there's so much drama in the Bible, it's crazy. And you know that drama is truth. It is the true word of God. That's what I love about it. So that's all I have to say about versions. Now, if someone to tell me that I need to know the King James Version, this is where pastors can get in the way of your own faith. Pastors telling you, you need to learn the King James Version. What kind of a burden is that? If you want to learn something from the 19th century to, 19th century language to understand that word of God, I don't understand. Now, if people have grown up with King James Version and that's what they feel comfortable with, God bless them. If that's what they can get, the word of God. But when I read the King James Version, I'm confused. So basically, you're going to decide what plan to follow. You're going to decide whatever version you want to follow, whether it's multiple versions or just one. I don't care. The next verse I want to read is 1 Corinthians 11:1. Who has that?
I have that. That's Paula.
Thank you.
I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings, just as I pass them on to you.
Okay, that's very good. Of course, Apostle Paul wrote that. And my version says, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. So who has, is Duran still there? You have John 4:34?
I do. John 4:34 says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
Okay. So
what do I have here?
Did you just say my meat?
Yes.
Okay. And mine says my nourishment, or he's saying his food, comes from doing the will of God who sent him and from finishing his work. And I find it really interesting that Jesus, it's kind of an odd verse for me, but he's saying that he's fed from doing the will of God and from finishing his work. And then let's read John 5:17.
Now, hold on.
Pastor John.
Yeah. Read from the New King James. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working.
Okay, very good. So he's saying he's working. My version says, my Father is always working, and so am I. So Jesus is always working, and his work comes from the nourishment of doing the will of God. So is it... I don't know how to say this. Does everyone on this call know what they've been called to do? Does everyone on this call understand the work that God has put in their life to do?
Yes, that's my case.
Okay, there's one yes. Can anyone else say a yes for that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, very good. So I think, when we get to that point, when we know the work God's called us to do, that's awesome. There's no better place we can be, because when we know what God has called us to do, that feeds us by doing the will of God. And for those people that don't, I believe that their work by default is to know God more. Mm-hmm. The more we know God, the more we hear his voice, and the more we hear his voice, is the more understanding we'll have about the work we have, the work he's given us. Now, so for me, in my life, I know the work he's given me to do is primarily to seek him. And I started seeking him in 2007, and I haven't stopped. And I don't imagine 20 years from now I will stop seeking God. So that is, I think, a primary directive, I think, of all believers. Because only then, when we seek God, do we hear his voice. So we never really stop seeking God. It's not like you find him, then all of a sudden, hey, I know God, and then you go off in life and don't seek him anymore. You're always seeking God. Even Paul, after many years of ministry, he wanted to know God. So seeking him is all about wanting to know him. And then who has John 6:27-29? Lee?
I do. One more. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Excuse me. On him God the Father has placed this seal of approval. Then they ask him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent.
So I find it real odd that all these people are asking God, and this is soon after the feeding of the 5,000. They want to know what they need to do God's work. And God didn't tell them to go find a ministry. God didn't tell them to go out and, be a greeter at a church. God didn't tell them to go out and feed the homeless. He said, believe in the one he has sent. So to me, at the very least, we are to believe in him. And, that goes into trusting him. And the only way we can trust God is to have that relationship with him, to abide in him, to me. And then once we've abided in Christ for any number of, months or whatever it takes, he gives us work to do. So he might put a great passion on your heart to go down and visit the homeless shelter. He might put a great passion on your heart to go greet at a church. Now, I know a lot of churches, they get people in the aisles, and they see ministry workers right away. They don't necessarily develop disciples. I know churches like to say, hey, we need people to help in nurseries. Well, they go to nurseries, and then they don't learn Christ in that nursery. And then it's like, what am I here for? I'm in this nursery. And if you don't serve God with the love that for the work that he's given you, then I don't think you should be serving God in that fashion. I think all the work that he gives us to do should be something that he's given us the desire for. In Genesis 5, who hasn't read yet? Anyone want to read?
Read what?
Genesis 5, 21 through 23.
Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
Okay, so God liked Enoch so much that he took him. He walked with God for 300 years. In the NLT, it says Enoch lived in close fellowship with God. So isn't that all of our heart's desire, to be in close fellowship with God?
Yes.
Enoch walked in close fellowship, and also Noah in Genesis 6:9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. So I love that, because even in the Old Testament, we can find people to model after. There's plenty of them in the Old Testament. So that is to bring us to our first tip, make Bible reading a high priority daily. So this is in line with putting God first. Now, for some of you, this might mean getting up a little earlier or setting aside time prior to going to bed. Or, I think what's ideal is beginning your day with a little reading and beginning your night. For me, we started reading Old and New every day, so as much as I could, I would read the Old Testament in the morning and the New Testament at night. So it kind of bookended my day. So that's a little tip I learned, but you need to fit it in there. As soon as, for me, it's like your biggest priority in your day is to fill it with the Word of God. So whatever idle time you find yourself with, that's a perfect time to read the Word of God. But I think we should plan it as much as we can, and I know it's not always easy to do. The tip number two is have a Bible with you at all times. That goes kind of along the line, so that we're always prepared if we have some spare minutes here and there to read. I think God blesses that time. some days it might be difficult to find time to read, so we need to take advantage of whatever time we have. So I don't know how many times you go into a place and you don't expect to have any time, but after sitting there for 10 minutes, you realize, boy, I wish I had something to read. So whether it's in your car waiting for a train, like I've experienced, or just, you know, keeping a Bible with you at all times. On my cell phone, by the way, speaking of technology, you can go on a cell phone, anything that has a browser, and you can go to mobile.biblegateway.com. Mobile.biblegateway.com. And again, you have whatever version is your preference. You can set that to be your preference. It defaults to NIV. And it's big enough that I can read it. So that's all I need. I remember one day I was just sitting around waiting for an appointment for someone, and throughout that day I read Psalms 119, and that was a real good blessing for me. Number three, read at least a chapter every day. So I don't care. You know, it used to be my old way, my old life. If I was too tired at night, whether it was 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning, if I was too tired, I would not read. I would argue in my mind that I have no business reading now. I'd fall asleep. I'd think of every excuse. And these days, it's rare if I don't read before I turn my light off. It's rare. And I don't know what it is, but I've learned in my own life, my conviction is to the point where I care more about ending my day with the Word of God than my sleep. I will sacrifice my sleep for prayer and for reading. That wasn't me 3 years ago, but it is me today. So God has changed my heart, and I value that. I don't care how tired I am, I will read. And I'll throw up a quick prayer. I'll say, Lord, help me to read what I'm reading. Help me to understand what I'm reading. You know, and some nights I'll get more out of it than other nights. But, you know, filling your mind with the Word of God is, it's invaluable. So I like to tell people, you know, if you're behind a couple days, you know, just reading a chapter at the very least will at least keep you in the game, so you're not falling further behind if you're trying to read through the Bible. So that helps. So if you're far behind, say you're more than 6 days, which can happen, you know, don't feel the need to catch up all at once. Try reading about two times, maybe 2 days at a time, you know, if you're trying to catch up, but you know, the purpose is for daily reading. So hopefully you'll never get more than 6 days behind. But if you're reading a chapter every day, it really doesn't matter. I mean, I'm the kind of obsessive-compulsive kind of guy that, you know, if I don't read a whole day, it bothers me. So the next day I'm trying to catch up. But I want to approach you with the idea of, you know, it really doesn't matter. I think it's a great goal to finish the Bible in a year, but I think it's a better goal to just establish a daily reading plan. So don't get upset. Just keep reading. The point is not to burn out. And I'll talk more about that in a little bit. So don't read too far ahead. If you know you're going to be extremely busy over the next few days, it might help to read a little bit ahead. You can read a little further. And some of those stories in Judges, you know, I just can't put the book down. I just need to keep on reading because I want to finish the story. So another tip is read in a quiet place, if at all possible. Some days it's not possible, but I'm telling you, if you focus on the Word of God and it becomes an excitement in your life, it doesn't matter where you're at. I've talked to people that have been in a very busy place. They open up the Word of God, and they make it a point to consume it. And it doesn't matter what's going on around them. They're able to focus on what God has to say, and I love that because we shouldn't have that kind of an excuse. Oh, it's too busy here, too noisy. You know, ideally, it's better to have a place free of distractions. And for me in my life, some days I read it in a noisy environment. Some days, I choose a more peaceful time if I have a choice. So that's just a tip. And I'd like to say at least once a week, read the Bible without putting a time limit on your reading. Don't have any kind of limit on your reading. Ideally, that's the way it should be every day, I think. But I know people have tight schedules, so you might say, oh, I can only read a chapter now. But I like to say at least once a week, have that time where you're just focusing on reading the Word of God. Put your cell phone on silent and just read. And read the Word as if to devour it. I mean, for those of you, your favorite foods, right? We have roast beef as a favorite food. Lobster. I don't know. Y'all like different stuff, and I'm trying to think of different things that we all love to eat. For me personally, I love a good ribeye. I love a good ribeye steak. So I was reading a chapter earlier this year, and I was thinking, this is as good as eating a ribeye, because I enjoyed reading every verse, and I ended up underlining, I think, the whole chapter. I'm not sure where it was. It might have been Hebrews. But anyway, I thought about that, and I thought, I think it's a good place to be if we can, just hang on every verse and try to get everything out of it. And I don't know how many times you read over verses and, do you even think about what you're reading? And I think at least once a day, spend that kind of time. And every day, by all means, try to get whatever you can out of what you're reading, of course. That way you can meditate on it, throughout the day. And you can think about, man, Noah lived 500 years old before he was told to build the ark. He had three kids, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And, my mind goes there. I start to visualize. I start to put myself there. He was given work to do when he was 500 years old. Of course, people lived a lot longer in those days. But, think about Moses. Moses was 80 years old before he was told to go get the Israelites. And, I think about that. That's where my mind goes. So when you really get into your reading, as if you're reading just a great piece of literature like it is, then you're going to meditate on it. And eventually you're just going to love it, and you won't be able to go a day without reading. And that's what I want from each of you. Another good tip is to keep a journal or a notepad. If you read something and you think, man, I don't know what that's saying. I don't understand that. I've read that 20 times before, but now I don't get it. And that happens, so you make a note. You put down the verse and you say, I don't know what that is, and we're going to talk about what to do with those items. Or you come across a verse that, man, this means so much to me. I'm so glad I read this today. And that doesn't happen every day, but when it does happen, write it down. Don't just let it go, and then share that with someone. We're going to talk about that. Let's talk about fellowship. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 16, I'm going to read that. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. They will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's armies. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to be there. I want to be his special treasure. I want to be written in that record. And I think this is a different record than the Book of Life. I think it's for those who speak with each other and listen to what he has to say. It might be the same as the Book of Life, but I'm not certain. But anyway, I want to be in that book. And I think that's what we do at the Bible team. By reading every day, he's always on our mind, and we always think about the honor of his name. And then it's not brain surgery. It's just, seeking him on a daily basis at all it is. Who would like to read Matthew 18:20? I'm reading too much.
I'll do that. That's Paula.
Okay, Paula, thank you. Matthew 18, verse 20.
For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them.
Okay, thank you. And in Luke, who wants to read Luke chapter 10, verse 1?
The Lord now chose 70 other disciples and sent them on ahead in pairs to all the towns and villages he planned to visit later.
Okay, very good. This is cool because I see the Bible team as a great model of what Christ did. And that is, Those 72 disciples, as well as his 12, spent time with Jesus. Those are the guys that hung around him, and they were disciples. They followed him. They sought him to find him, and then they spent time with him. And, of course, he sent them out after they spent time with him. So I bring this to tell you that we've been talking up until now about individual Bible reading, what you're going to do with your quiet time, your alone time, and I wrote some messages about how you spend your time. And, you know, your individual time with Jesus, that's reading the Word. Jesus is the Word, and we spend time with him in that time reading and praying about it. Lord, help me to understand what you have to say. And then I'm telling you, to find someone that's close in your life, like I found Jeff. Now, I didn't think about reading the Bible with Jeff. Jeff kind of volunteered. He signed up to go along with me, and I was more than happy to go along with him. So I look at that, and I say, God told me to do this work of reading his Word, and God put me together with Jeff. He, like, assigned the two of us to do this work together. And that's no different than what we see here. Disciples met with Jesus. He sent them out in twos, and I believe that's what we're all about here. And I meet with Lee on a weekly basis. I meet with Pastor John on the phone on a weekly basis. So it's work that God's given me with multiple people. So that's where it's so key. If you read the Bible by yourself and don't share it and don't spend any time with anyone else about it, I don't imagine you're going to get very far. I really don't. I think that's why most people fail. And what I think is when God works with the two or three together through that reading, and it's just a very informal time of sharing about what you're reading, whatever reading plan you're reading, whatever versions you're reading from, share what you're reading. And then your relationships grow deeper. So it's kind of a built-in accountability, built-in fellowship where you learn more about God and you learn more about each other. So, and then we have the Bible team call itself to talk about. But this is just about you not reading the Word of God alone. Now, if you don't have anyone right now that you're reading with, I don't want anyone to read through the Word of God alone. I think it's very important to find what I call a Bible reading buddy. So my brother was my Bible reading buddy, and he still is. Because whatever I'm reading, I can call him and say, Jeff, I just read this. I can't believe what I read this morning or whatever. So if you don't have someone, let me know. I'm hoping that through the Bible team we can find, you know, pair people up if we need to. But I encourage you to go to your spouse or go to a friend, go to a brother or sister, someone that you think might want to read it along with you. And I think God will bring that person to you if you ask. So that pretty much concludes the daily reading plan tips and Bible verses that I had to share about that.